My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. Thank God this morning. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 10. And just have a simple thought this morning, a story really to share with you that something the Lord did for me this week. Brother James, just wait till I tell you, never mind. I tell you this bunch, when you want them to do something they want and you don't want them to, they do. Amen. I was supposed to wait on my cue, but that's all right. I'll explain the picture. Just go ahead and leave it up, Brother James. I'll explain the picture in just a few minutes. But I want you to look with me at Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 30. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30. The Bible said, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him," say the next two words, "Amen. Half dead." Now stay with me just for a second. Half dead doesn't mean all dead. Half dead means there is a 50-50 chance. You ever given up on somebody? Have you ever just thought, well, it's no use, I won't even pray anymore, but what you found out was they wasn't all the way dead, they is just half dead, and when you thought nothing could be done, Jesus came by and revived the other half. Amen. Half dead. I'm glad it wasn't all the way dead. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that out. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. This is that religious crowd. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, another religious man, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, yeah, you know who that is? That's a Gentile. That's an old dog right there. That's just an old Gentile dog that the Jew looked down his pointed nose at. Hey, y'all all right this morning? Just a nobody found a nobody in a ditch on the side of the road. Takes a nobody to know a nobody, don't it? A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, "Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." I'm going to stop there and tell you a story this morning. The picture you see on the screen, and that's the title of my message this morning, me and Sergeant Buddy. Me and Sergeant Buddy. Sergeant Buddy's the shorter one. I had the privilege on Wednesday. I believe it was Wednesday. Yes, I had the privilege on Wednesday to go and tour, Brother Greg, wherever you went, right there in front of me. I got to go and tour Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas. On Tuesday night, one of the retired soldiers in the church, he said, "Preacher, I'd like to take you to Fort Hood tomorrow and show you all the memorials and the museums and all that stuff." And they've got a memorial that they melted down. Y'all remember when they tore down the statue of Saddam Hussein? Y'all remember that when they pulled that thing over with a tank? They melted that thing down. And they've turned it into a bronze sculpture. It's a soldier kneeling before a rifle and boots, you know, stabbed in the ground, designating a fallen soldier. And he's got his head in his hands and a little girl standing there with her hand on her back. It's beautiful. It's glad to see there is some good came out of Saddam Hussein. Yeah. Amen. But we were there to see all these things. And when we pulled up in the parking lot, y'all, if you've been around me much, you know I love horses and I love cowboy stuff and I love Western things. And we pulled in the parking lot to tour these museums, but I looked off in the distance, Brother Greg, and there was a huge equine or horse facility. And I asked Brother Don, the retired soldier, I said, "What is that?" He said, "That's the 1st Cavalry Horse Division." And I thought, well, Mr. Obama didn't know about this during the debate. Amen. That's the 1st Cavalry Horse Division. I said, I want to see that. And he said, well, we can go to the museum later. I said, I don't care. I want to see that. He said, brother, we've all seen it. We're here for you. We'll do whatever you want. So we make the drive down to the main barn, and we're walking up to the barn. This young sergeant, the coolest military uniform I've ever seen in my life. They wear Wrangler jeans, cowboy boots. Amen. That's their army uniform, brother. I thought, man, this is sweet. But this young sergeant came out and introduced himself. His name was Sergeant Henley. And Sergeant Henley began to take me on a tour and give me a lesson on the 1st Cavalry Horse Division and what they do. They do parades, color guard. They do a reenactment thing out there every day or every Thursday. If you're ever in Fort Hood, Texas, go on Thursday and watch the color guard. I mean, it's an amazing thing. They do the cavalry charge. And so anyway, we walked across this facility. We went from barn to barn. We went to the farrier shop where they shoe the horses. And then we went into another area, and it was pretty cool. And this ain't got nothing to do with the message, but it's pretty cool. They've got a barn out there. The Army, they build their own saddles, and they make their own boots. I mean, they do it all. And Sergeant Henley is a bootmaker. I mean, he custom builds boots for each soldier's foot. But it was a pretty neat deal. So we took the whole tour, and I'm in awe. I mean, just in awe of all this. And we get back to the main barn, and Sergeant Henley takes us into a room that's under, not really construction, but is in the process of being put into place, and it's their trophy room. And one wall is dedicated to different pictures. And on that wall, they're doing the cavalry charge. They've got the swords drawn, and they've always got, an artillery wagon that goes with the charge and the parades and all that. And setting up on that wagon is this dog. And he's just barking at those mules. He's giving orders, amen? He's barking while that guy's going, yah, yah. That dog's going, rah, rah, rah. I mean, boy, he's barking at them mules saying, let's get up and go. And he's got a bandana around his neck. And, buddy, it looks like he owns that wagon. And Brother Elijah, one of the guys from the church that was with us, he looked and he pointed. He said, I saw that dog out there in the yard. And Sergeant Henley said, oh. That's Sergeant Buddy. He runs this place. I said, is he a registered Australian shepherd? He said, no, be honest with you. We don't know what he is. He said, but he's the most faithful, the most loyal animal any of us have ever seen. And he went on to tell me some more about Sergeant Buddy, and he said, he's talking about his loyalty and how smart he was and how dedicated he was and how much he wanted to please them. And at the end of his story, he said, you know, I guess it's because we saved him. I guess it's because we saved him. And that caught my attention real good. And I said, no, wait, you saved him? He said, yeah, several years ago, when Sergeant Buddy was a puppy, one of our soldiers was on his way to work and he saw a dog in a ditch. And he turned around and he went back and he picked the old dog up out of the ditch and carried him to the vet and got him patched up and healed up. Hence, we have Sergeant Buddy. Brother Greg, I left there and I went to every museum. I believe there was 3 different ones that I went through. I saw all the tanks and the helicopters and all that from the 1st Cavalry Division all on the grounds. And I was in awe of that. We went into one place called the Hall of Honor. And it was just a little room, a narrow room, and it just dead-ended. You walked in this way and come around that way. And all around that room, double stacked, were pictures of men in the 1st Cavalry Division who have received the Medal of Honor. I don't know how many. There's probably 30 or so in that room, maybe 20, something of that nature. And I mean, I'm standing there in the presence of greatness. As I walk around and I see the memorials of great men and great squadrons of men and great troops of men who have given their life for their country, all of that, my patriotic blood is boiling. I love America. But looking at the tanks, looking at the helicopters, standing in the great hall of honor, I had little in common with any of those men. My mind kept going back to that barn. My mind kept going back to that dog, Sergeant Buddy. If there was anything on that base out of all the memorials and all the grandeur, if there was anything there that I bore a kindred spirit and a connection with, it was Sergeant Buddy. We got back to the car and Brother Don said, "Preacher, is there anything else you want to see?" I said, "I know I've spent a lot of your day. You wasn't planning on the Calvary Division tour there, but if I could we go back to that barn?" He said, "You want to go back and talk to Sergeant Henley?" I said, "No, I want to go find Buddy." We went to the barn, and Buddy was nowhere to be found. We called and called and called, and there was a lady soldier there, and I said, "Ma'am, here's my email address. Would you email me a picture of Buddy? I'd sure like to have a picture of him." And we started to walk off, and she said, whoa, preacher, come back, come back. Here comes Buddy. I got to love on old Buddy. I got to have my picture made with Sergeant Buddy. This morning, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about me and Sergeant Buddy. Me and Sergeant Buddy, just an old dog. A mixed breed. He said, "You know, you would think the Army, Cavalry Division, they'd have some high-bred champion bloodline dog riding on their wagon. No, not the 1st Cavalry Division. They got a mutt. They said he's maybe Australian Shepherd, maybe half blue heeler. We're not sure exactly what he is, but we do know this. He's loyal and he loves us, and the best thing we can figure is because we saved him." Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, I love him and I'm loyal, and it's not because of my pedigree. It's not because of my background. It's because, thank God, he saved me. Amen. Now, I have some common ground with that dog. Never learned to fire a mortar. Never marched in whatever they call it. Never sang cadence with the army. Never marched into battle, but I've been where that dog was. No wonder he's so happy. Some of y'all don't look happy this morning. It's because you forgot the ditch you was dug up out of. You've forgotten where you were when the Lord found you. I don't know if I'll ever get to my points this morning or not. Buddy never complains about riding on that wagon. He never wants to lead the charge or ride one of the horses. He's happy to ride on that wagon and bark at them mules. Why? He remembers that ditch. He remembers that ditch and where he was. And as he sits on that wagon and barks at them mules, I bet in the best dog language or vernacular he can come up with, he's saying, "Boy, howdy, this is a whole lot better than that ditch I was in, laying on the side of the road. I think I'll just ride this wagon and bark for my soldier." Some of y'all forgot where you was when he found you. Somehow you've come to the idea that you deserve to be here. You've come to the conclusion that you have this right or that right, and you should get this and you should get that acclamation or that recognition. But truth is, if we had what we deserve, we would be beyond the ditch and frying in the pits of hell this morning. But ain't you glad somebody came back? I need somebody to help me this morning. Ain't you glad somebody came back? I want to look at several things in this scripture this morning. I told you I wouldn't preach long, and I won't. But I'm going to preach till I'm done. I want you to look with me at verse number 33. Don't take the picture down, Brother James. Leave that up there. Verse number 33, the Bible said, "But a certain Samaritan, Samaritan as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. I want to say first off this morning, he saw him. He saw him. I'm going to get undignified this morning. He saw him. Let me just say that again. That's real deep. You've got to go to Bible school to get it. He saw him. He saw him. Thank God the right one saw him. Now, in our story, we've got two others who looked at him. We've got two others, and here's kind of what they did. They're going down the road, and here's the poor old guy laying in the ditch. They're going down the road, and they give it this. We've got a lot in society like that today. When we go to the mall and we look at the, you might call them a freak.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
A weirdo.
Amen.
There was a fella sitting across from me. Me and this guy kind of yoked up yesterday. We were both stuck in the airport all day long. And he was from Alabama, so I was trying to lead him around and show him where the bathroom was and read the sign. I was reading all the signs for him, that kind of thing, you know. But there was this kid sitting across from us. I love you, Brother Freddie. There was this kid. Roll Tide. Does that make you feel better? There's this kid sitting across from us. I'm talking about a teenager, maybe 16, 17 years old, and he was on the plane when we came home. And he had these things in his ears. I don't know what you call it, but they were about that big around. Now listen, they weren't hanging from his ear. They were in his ear. How that's possible, I don't know. It looked like satellite receivers or something. I thought he had antennas. I mean, they stood out this far on his head and looked like white saucers in his ear. I can't medically explain that. There's no way I can get a dinner plate in my earlobe. But he had a coffee cup saucer. I'm serious. They were that big around. And that guy from Alabama looked at me and he said, "Reckon what that is?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "It may be an antenna for his iPod. I ain't sure what it is." And we looked at that boy and both of us was thinking the same thing. Weirdo. His first name was Weird, his last name was O. And the guy looked at me from Alabama and he said, "I just wonder one thing." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Why?"
Amen.
I said, "My friend, you have asked a good question. You've asked a hard question because I ain't got a clue why anybody'd want a saucer in their ear. But this kid did." I looked at him, I said, "Be honest with you, he's probably hunting something." He said, "What do you reckon he's looking for?" I said, "Happiness, joy, fulfillment." I said, "Maybe he ain't as crazy as we think he is. He's just looking for something to fill up his life, something to consume his heart and something to consume his mind." Hey, I saw past the saucers in the earlobe and I saw a young boy who just needs Christ as his Savior. You know what that boy from Bama said? "Maybe me and you ought to just pray for him."
Amen.
I said, "Let's do that." Yeah. Amen. 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 He saw him, Brother Freddie. He saw him. I wondered as I looked at that dog in the barn, as I looked at Buddy and rubbed his head and played with him and talked to him, I wonder how many cars pass that dog. Fort Hood is the largest landmass-wise military base in the world. Not just America, in the world. It's huge. Thousands, I don't mean hundreds, thousands of men and women travel to that base every single day. I wonder how many drove right by that little wounded, balled up, maybe bloody piece of fur in the side of the road. And I wonder how many thought, "Well, boy, that dog's had a bad day. You know, I'd like to help him, but I'm late for work.
Yeah. Go ahead,
if I'm not there on time, Sarge's going to chew me out.
Yeah. Amen.
I'd love to help that little old dog, but too bad. Yeah. You've had a bad day. Yeah. I wonder how many looked on him.
Yeah.
I wonder how many looked on. Hey, have you ever drove down the road? It's hard to miss a dead animal.
Yeah. Right.
Especially one that's still flopping and moving.
Amen.
I guarantee he caught the attention of everybody who drove by. I wonder about that little trailer on Leggett Lake Road. First driveway on the right off of Mulberry Rock Road. You turn down Leggett Lake Road and there's a little single wide trailer right there on the side of the road. I wonder how many drove by and thought, I wonder who lives there. I wonder, I see that little boy playing in the yard. I wonder who his mama is. I wonder who his daddy is. But they never stopped by. I'm glad somebody saw more than a wounded animal on the side of the road. I'm glad somebody saw past the blood and somebody saw past the dirt and they saw the dog. I'm glad somebody had fortitude enough to say, I don't care if a sergeant chews me out if I'm late. That little dog needs help. And I know somebody who can help him. I'm not a veterinarian, but I know where they... I know where there is one. I believe I'll pick him up and see if I can get him some help.
Yes, yes.
He saw past the dirt. Saw past the blood and the wounds. And he saw a dog in need of help. I'm glad one Saturday morning, Levi has just written a song about it. If you'll come tonight, he's going to sing it. I'm glad one Saturday morning, early, watching cartoons as a four-year-old boy, somebody didn't pass by the trailer. They stopped by. I'm glad they pulled in there. Maybe they saw the bicycle or the tricycle in the yard. Maybe Brother Jay saw my Tonka trucks out there in the sand and thought, I bet there's a little boy who lives there. And he cared enough to stop and knock on the door. Hey, man, he said, I'm not the veterinarian. I'm not the one who has all the answers. But I know somebody who does. Amen. It's time we keep stop looking and start seeing.
Yes, sir.
It's time, hey. Don't you look funny at people who come in here who ain't dressed like you. Amen. There is no room. Let me just say it again. There is no room in Happy Valley for sanctimonious Christians. If that's your mindset, and I don't mean this ugly, but I'm going to say it. If that's your mindset, go somewhere else and make some room for some more sinners. That's with my best Joel Osteen smile right there. Amen. This is a hospital. This is a place for wounded. This is a place for hurt. This is a place for brokenhearted. Thanks be unto God, we've got a place where sinners can come. And they're welcome. He saw him. Look at verse 34. Verse 34. The Bible said, and went to him. Wait a minute now. He did more than everybody else did.
Yeah.
He did more than everybody else did. He went to him.
Yes, sir.
He sought him out, Brent, friend.
Yes, sir.
He stopped to investigate.
Yeah. Amen.
To many, it was just a dog who had had a bad encounter with maybe an automobile on the way to work. But to this soldier, let me just stop and see how bad he's hurt.
Amen. Yeah.
Let me just stop and see if there's something I can do. This man pulled over, got off of his horse, got off of his donkey, whatever he was riding, and crawled down into the ditch with his man. I imagine as he knelt beside this guy, he probably got some on him.
Yeah, you're right. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
He probably got dirty.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes.
As he went to travel on his way, I imagine he was reminded. Maybe his shirt was stained with the blood of the fella who was laying in the ditch. He went beyond seeing. Hey, church, sometimes we might have to get our hands dirty. We might have to go where they live. We may have to hold them up against us. We may have to put an arm around them and pray with them in an altar.
Yes, sir.
There's a little boy that rides our buses to church. He's about that big. And I'll be honest with you, I'm ashamed, but I don't even know his name. They've told me, but I forget. Last Sunday, Levi was in my office. I believe it was Levi. And he come barreling in as he does. He wasn't here today, but he comes in my office every Sunday. And one of the workers was behind him going, hey, you can't go in there. You can't go in there. It's a preacher's office. He said, yes, I can. They said, no, the preacher's in there. I know.
Amen.
He lets me come in there every Sunday.
Yes, sir.
He walked in that door, didn't ask, walked straight to the candy jar.
Amen.
And he don't get a cup. He gets so many his hand won't come out of the jar.
Yeah.
And he don't eat one. He puts them all in his mouth. Thank you, preacher. But every Sunday he does the same thing. He goes shopping in my office.
Yeah.
He stands there like this, looking on the shelf. Can I have that?
Yeah.
He wants that George Bulldog helmet. I said, no, you ain't getting that, son. Well, can I have that? No. Can I have that? No. Can I hang one of these deer heads in my house? No. And there was a little car somebody had given me, and if I gave a gift, you gave me away. Don't be hurt with me. He needed it worse than I did.
Amen.
He said, can I have that orange car right there? I said, yeah, you sure can.
Amen.
I've been looking in my office for what else I can afford to give it. But I'm glad there's a preacher who a little bus kid is more than welcome to bust in the door on Sunday morning and say, preacher, man, I need a piece of candy.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever rise above what we truly are. Amen.
Amen.
He saw him, but then he sought him. He got down there where he was. Bible said he bound up his wounds.
Yeah.
I wonder what he used. Just curious. I wonder if he tore a piece of his own clothing and wrapped around the bleeding wounds of this guy on the side of the road. The Bible said he poured wine. Alcohol is a anesthetic. Yeah, there you go. Kills germs. He poured oil and he ministered unto this guy. Listen, where he was. Now that's deep if you'll hold on. You say, preacher, I'm not getting anything out of this. You ain't never been in the ditch. He ministered unto him where he was. We're living in a day when churches expect people to come in and just be all that. We better learn to love people where they are. Where they are. I've got a good friend of mine who used to come to our church, and I wouldn't call his name or cause any embarrassment to him for nothing in the world. He didn't come anymore. Brother Charles will know who he is, and Brother Terry probably. He was bad to smoke a little dope. Let me rephrase that. He is bad to smoke a lot of dope. And I had a deacon come to me, Brother Charles, if you'll remember. And he said, you need to stand up on Wednesday night and call a conference and turn him out of church. I thought real hard about what he said. I said, why? He said, he smokes dope. I said, I know that. He said, what you going to do about it? I said, nothing. He said, are you serious? You're going to allow him to come to church knowing he's fried? I said, yeah, he enjoys my preaching. I said, seriously, where do you think he should be?
Yeah. Right, preacher.
Amen.
I said, he's not leading the choir.
Yeah. Amen.
He's not teaching Sunday school. He's just coming to church.
Yes, sir.
You idiot. Y'all all right? Somebody said on my pew and I could smell alcohol on them. Well, good. I'm glad they're here. Y'all all right? Oh, we've had them come through the years, shacked up, living together, not married. Hey, I'm glad you're here. We're going to love you where you are till God gets you where He wants you to be. He ministered to him where he was.
Yeah, right.
thought about that soldier, Brother Greg, in the ditch as he picked up that dog. People probably riding by going, ooh.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Ooh, I wouldn't pick that dirty dog up out of that ditch.
Yeah.
Ooh, you talk about a companion.
Yes.
You care about one don't nobody else care about.
Yes.
You reach out to one nobody else was willing to reach out to. Hey, you got loyalty right there, friend.
Yes, sir.
Ministered to him where he was.
Right.
Now listen, if you're saved, we're not supposed to continue in sin. We're supposed to get better, but we're going to love you better.
That's right.
You got that? Y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that church is full of hypocrites. I know it.
Yeah.
From the pulpit to the balcony.
Amen, preacher.
Yeah. Preacher.
You sitting by one.
Amen.
Amen. Man told me on visitation one day, said, I ain't coming to that church. It's full of hypocrites. I said, well, come on, one more ain't going to make a difference.
Yes,
amen. We're a bunch of sinners saved by grace. That's
yes,
all we are.
Yes,
amen. What if we could just take all your trash and dump it out here where everybody could see it?
Yeah, come on.
Some of y'all looking a little squeamish this morning.
Yeah.
What if I could put your thoughts and your mind and your heart up on that screen where everybody could look at it? Brother Earl Hughes said, give me about 5 minutes. You can put anything up there you want.
Amen.
In other words, he said, I can get it covered under the blood. You'll have a blank screen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
He ministered to him where he was. Quit putting too much religious expectation on people.
Yes,
allow them time.
Yes, sir.
And if they're truly saved, time will make a difference.
Right,
you ain't got to tell a lady how to dress. Show her. You ain't got to teach a man how to talk. Just get him around the good stuff.
That's right.
Did you know? You know how they trained bank tellers to spot counterfeit back in the old days? I don't know how they got the pins now. Back in the old days, you know how they trained them? They just let them handle the real stuff.
You're right.
Long enough.
Yes, sir.
And as soon as they feel a fake, they go, "Wait a minute, something's wrong with this."
That's right.
All we need to do is let them handle the real stuff.
Yes.
Brother Dexter Steffi, he's in heaven. Brother Dexter was a biker I led to Christ in the hospital, dying with cirrhosis of the liver. He was as orange as any man. I mean, he looked like a Florida orange, a pumpkin. That's what he was, pumpkin colored. That was his color. I walked to the Tater. You remember Tater, Brother Charles? That was his nephew. Tater came and said, would you go see my uncle in the hospital? And I committed. I said, sure, I'll go see him. He said, well, I better tell you. He's a biker and he hates preachers. Now you tell me. He said, he's probably going to cuss you out. But you said you'd go see him, right?
Yeah.
Well, I got to the hospital and I found Dexter's room and he was sound asleep. I stood at the foot of his bed and he looked as near death as anybody I've ever seen. He opened one eye and looked at me and I said, boy, you look rough. It just came out. I normally don't. That's not my bedside manner. It just came out. It was the Lord. It was just the Lord. And he opened up that other eye and got his vision focused. And he said, you must be that blankety blank, good for nothing, blankety blank preacher Tater sent over here. I said, you about got me pegged there, bud. He said, well, I don't want to hear none of what you got to say. I said, how do you know? I ain't said nothing yet. He said, well, say on and just say what you got to say. I began to talk to Dexter. I didn't talk about Dexter. I talked about me and what God had done in my life and how God loved me. And I watched that old biker's heart just melt, that heart of stone just turned to mush. And big old tears rolled down his eyes. He said, you think God could ever love me? You think God could ever love me? I said, no, he does love you. He said, but preacher, I've done this and I've done that. I said, hey, don't confess your sin to me. I can't do nothing about it. But there's one in the room with us that can handle it all. And that old biker bowed his head with me in that hospital room and became a child of God. Before I walked out of the room, he said, preacher, wait a minute. He said, I don't owe you anything. And he said, you don't owe me anything, but I would like to ask a favor. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm about to die. He said, would you preach my funeral?
Dexter lived some 12 years longer. I rode him on a four-wheeler, Brother Terry, down to High Shoals Waterfalls and baptized him in the creek. Now, Dexter had a ponytail, and he's covered in tattoos, and his ponytail touched his waist, Brother Freddie. It was down to here. About the first 6 months he got saved, faithful in church. I mean, there like a clock a-ticking, still ponytail. I had one fella come to me, when you going to make him cut his hair? I said, I ain't.
That's right.
You mean you ain't going to make him cut his hair? I thought you was a fundamentalist. I am. I thought you had standards. I do. But I'm not going to force them on somebody else.
That's right. Amen.
It was over a year, wasn't it, Brother Charles? Maybe two. One Wednesday night. Brother Dexter came walking down, before church came walking down to the pulpit, and he got down there and he turned in front of me and done his head like that. And he just looked up at me and grinned. He stood up and testified later. He said, I knew Brother Eddie wanted me to cut my hair. He said, but I waited until I wanted me to cut my hair. Y'all all right this morning? This ain't real deep, but we're gonna minister to people and help people where they are. Well, you're a liberal. Call me whatever you stinking want. We gonna love sinners. Amen. He saw him. He sought him. In verse number 34, he saddled him. He loaded him up. Put him on his own beast. Somebody told me a few weeks ago I had two boys in my truck. Somebody said, where are you going, preacher? It's Sunday night. I'm going to take these boys home. Well, you can get somebody else to do that. Why? I want to take them home. I want to see where they live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. I want to see where they live. I'll take them home.
Yes, sir.
You ever rode somebody in your truck and it smelled different after they got out?
Yes,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Y'all listening?
Amen.
He put him on his own beast. That meant he had to walk.
That's right.
He was willing to walk so he could get this man to some help.
Yeah.
When I read that he put him on his own beast, I thought about them buses lined up out there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on. Come on,
thought about them buses out there. I thought about every child that got on them. Some of them wounded.
Yeah.
Some of them wondering why daddy left.
Yeah.
Is it their fault? They wonder. I'm glad somebody loaded them up this morning.
Amen, preacher.
I'm glad somebody loaded them up this morning. I thought about that sergeant as he pulled off on the side of the road. He picked up that little wounded dog and put him in his truck. I ain't going to put that dirty dog in my truck. Yeah, but he needs help. He needs help. I've already got some of it on me. I might as well get it in my truck too. But I've got to get him somewhere. He's got to have a means to get there. A vehicle. A beast. A bus. A pickup. Watch this. A church. Did you know what that? Did you know that's what the church is?
Yes, sir.
It's our vehicle. And it's going to get us to where we're going. Sometimes we may have to pick one up off the side of the road.
Yes,
so don't feel weird when they come in.
Yeah, right.
Feel privileged.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That we're the ones who gets to load them up and bring them. Amen.
Amen.
I got to hurry and I'm done. He saw him. He sought him. He saddled him. Look at verse 35. And on tomorrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. Gave them to the house and unto him and unto him take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again I will repay thee. He sought him, he sought him, he saddled him. He secured him. He secured him. He said, look, he ain't got no money. He's just a bum. He's been robbed. He's been stripped of his clothes. He was naked when he found him. He didn't have nothing. Nothing. This guy who stopped on the side of the road had nothing to gain from getting this bloody man out of a ditch and putting him on his beast. Amen. Nothing to gain. When he reached in his pocket, Brother Terry, and pulled out the 2 pence and said, "Here, I hope this will cover it, but if not, when I come back by, I'll pay the rest." Amen. He had nothing to gain. Would you listen to me? When Jesus came by where you was, you had nothing to pay with. You had no monetary gain that would earn you heaven. And Jesus had nothing to gain by saving you except bringing Him honor and glory. Ain't you glad that He came by and He was willing to pay the price? I doubt Sergeant Buddy had a wallet. I doubt he had a collar with a money bag hanging from it. But I'm glad that soldier was willing to pick Buddy up. Sergeant Henley said, "We took him to the vet." He's not registered. No, but he is hurt. He doesn't have championship blood. No, but he is hurt. And he has no money of his own. And he has no way to get to where he can get some help. So we're going to take him. Amen. And we're going to pay the price. Amen. That's exactly what Jesus did for me. Amen. And that's exactly what Jesus did for you. Amen. Some of y'all are sitting here this morning in a shirt and tie. Yes. Some of you, I've seen you with vomit on your clothes. Some of you I've looked at through glass about that thick and talked to you on a little telephone. We need to remember the ditch.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We need to remember where we were when the Lord found us. Myself, I need to remember the little single wide trailer on the dirt road in a busted home with a mama doing all she can. Let's not forget where God found us. Amen. You know what the old guy said when he saw him? The Bible said he was moved with compassion. It broke his heart. It broke his heart. Only one other person I know of that the Bible said when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Why does God bless this place? Because when He sees them, He's moved with compassion. Amen. Me and Sergeant Buddy, I wasn't worthy to stand in the Hall of Honor. Most of those men did not receive that medal till after their lives were already given. They never got to wear it around their neck. It was given post, what do you call it, Brother Greg? Posthumously, is that it? After they had already given their life. And I stood there and looked in the faces of those great men. And I thought, boy, I'm not worthy to stand here. I'm not worthy to stand among men such as this. And I went to that memorial, that statue of that soldier with his head bowed in his hand. And I thought, I'm not worthy to stand here. I went to the memorial of each of these wars, and I thought, I'm not worthy to stand here. But just let me go back and kneel beside Buddy. Because there's one I find a common thread with. Amen. Just an old dog on the side of the road. Amen. Thank God somebody cared enough to stop by. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Are you glad somebody saw you? Are you glad they sought you out? Are you glad they brought you in? And are you glad somebody is willing to pay the price? Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning. Nobody looking around. We'll have the altar call and we'll be gone in just a few minutes. Listen to me carefully. There may be somebody here this morning like Sergeant Buddy. Your life is nowhere near what you hoped it would be. Seems like there's no way out of the mess you're in. You're not even sure if you died today, heaven would be your home. Boy, I'd sure like for you to get that settled today. There's a faithful soldier who's come by this way this morning. His name's Jesus. He wants to pick you up, patch you up, pay the price to change your life forever. If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that if I died today, heaven would be my home." Would you slip up your hand? I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. Brother Eddie, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please remember me when you pray. Anybody? I wonder this morning if there's one that'd say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. There ain't no doubt in my mind. If I die right now, you can preach my funeral and tell my family I'm in heaven. But I'm pretty banged up. I know I'm saved, but I feel a lot like that dog this morning. I'm wounded. I'm hurt. I'm going through some struggles. And I'll be honest with you, I could use some help. I'll tell you what I can do. I can help you pray. If you'd slip up your hand, God bless you. Hands all over this building. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Father, for a good day. Thank you, God, for being good to us. Lord, thank you for passing by my way. Lord, when I couldn't help myself, you sent a faithful soldier by the name of Brother Jay Bice, Lord, to pick us up, put us on an old bus and carry us to the house of God. Thank you for faithful men and faithful women. Thank you for these who serve so faithfully here. Lord, who are responsible for every one of those children hearing the gospel this morning. Lord, you've seen every hand. You know every heart. God, I just pray you'd deal with us accordingly today. Father, just have your way in this altar call, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.